Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Bridges to Business Radio.
Hello, I'm Ann Revelle Petcher, your host for Bridges to Business Radio, and I have two really interesting guests in the studio today. I want to welcome Jim Roberts, who's here from the UNCW Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
So glad you're here. And John, I'm going to do it right. Panachone. Did I do it right?
You did.
Oh,
very good.
Cool. John is the president of Logic Bay Corporation, actually CEO. I should tweak that a little, shouldn't
I? That's okay. I'll answer to any title.
Okay. Hey, you.
That's fine.
Welcome to the
a lot
studio.
Of people call me that.
I'm going to spend a little time first with John talking about Logic Bay, and then we're going to scoot over to Jim. We're going to talk about what they're doing over at UNCW and his role there and his goals there. And then we'll chat with both of you a little bit about how you're overlapping and when you see each other and those kinds
sure.
of things. So, John, why don't you tell me just a little bit about what Logic Bay is?
We're a software company. So we have an internet-based software product called the Performance Center. That's the name of it. And it's very tailored to manufacturers and how they work with their dealers who sell and service their products every day.
So any particular kind of manufacturers or just manufacturers of any kinds of products globally?
Well, most of our customers fall into heavy equipment manufacturing,
okay.
with Caterpillar being our largest customer. We also do a lot with high-tech manufacturing as well, like other software companies. Or computer type companies that sell through dealers and bars. And we also work with franchise organizations as well.
Interesting. So what does this software do for the company?
Well, we're kind of the easy button for dealers. So, you know, traditionally, if you're a manufacturer and you want to sell through dealers that are typically independently owned, you have mm-hmm. to push a lot of support to those dealers. So especially in the industries where that I mentioned, it's very hard to do that and do that every day well. So our software has been developed over the years, over the last decade, to try to create a software solution that makes it very easy for a dealer and the people that work at those dealerships to get what they need from the manufacturers to do their job every day.
What kind of information is that they need? So let's just take Caterpillar, for example. Everybody knows what Caterpillar makes, and they drive down High 40 and they see Caterpillar,
right.
you know, distribution centers. And so how does this work? Where does the software sit physically? Is it in cloud? Is it on PCs? Is it a network? And how does each end of the customer and dealer network work with the software?
Sure. Good question. Well, first of all, every one of our customers kind of uses the software slightly differently. In the case of Caterpillar, you know, training and certification is a big deal to Caterpillar. So think about a piece of Caterpillar machinery. It's very complex. So it's very hard to sell. You have to know what you're doing to sell it. And it's very hard to service. You know, you have to know what you're doing to fix it. So much like auto dealerships, you have to be certified by Caterpillar to either sell or service a piece of Cat machinery. So that's our software handles that certification. So if you're a salesperson at a Cat dealer, you need to be certified to sell machine X. So we handle the education, the training, and the making sure that that person is competent to sell that before they talk to an end customer. So there, you know, if you think about how many people work worldwide in Caterpillar dealers. We support almost 60,000 people in dealerships around the world every day in multiple languages. So it's a very hard problem to solve without software.
Sure. So is this something then that Caterpillar purchases this, right? And then they create the content?
Yeah, we create very little content these days, but we support all the people that develop content. Where many, many companies develop content, Caterpillar. And we manage that content using some standard protocols that I won't bore you with. But our software handles those standards and those protocols so that that content can be delivered to the dealers efficiently and we can track it all.
And so it really is about content and also what testing. So you're delivering information to the dealership. I'm sorry if I'm going too deep here, but if you deliver the information to the dealership and each dealer comes on and they take their they study. The content, and then they take some sort of a testing?
Right. In the case of Caterpillar, that's absolutely true. So content's one thing, you're correct. The second thing I haven't mentioned is we integrate with many different systems that a dealer needs to go in and out of every day to do their job. For example, you might need to access an inventory database to see what machines are on what dealership near you, nearby, you know, if you have a customer that needs.
Sure.
So our software doesn't really do that out of the box, but that's another system that we integrate with. So it's called Single Sign-On. So, you know, a salesperson would log into our application, and then later in the day, they might have to access that other system. So there's a link on our software to go to that other system, so it would simply open up. They don't have to log into it a second time, get what they need, and go back to what they were doing. So without our software, you would have to log in and out of a plethora of systems every day just to do your job. And that's why I mentioned we're kind of the easy button for a dealer.
Yeah.
You know, they log in once to our system. We do all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. I love the idea of one password.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of sounds boring, but it's a big deal to our customers. We had one customer that had over 90 different systems.
Oh, my word. And you replaced all of those with one package?
We didn't replace them. We integrated with many of them. So out of the box, our software does a lot of what those systems would do. And if we do it better than those other systems, our customers can kind of sunset those older systems and use ours. If they want to stick with those other systems, we integrate with them like I described.
So where's the big benefit for your customer then? Is it in cost savings? Is it in time savings? Is it in customer satisfaction for their dealers?
It depends on the customer. We have many other customers. Sure. I always refer to CAT because we're quite proud of the work we do there, obviously, and everybody knows who they are.
Yeah.
But we also work with small manufacturers or franchises like Mosquito Squad.
Oh, really?
They're one of our smaller customers, but we're quite proud of the work we do. And they actually use the same software as Caterpillar. So, and I can get to that later, but...
But the benefit for them, so for Mosquito Squad, the benefit that they're seeing from using your software is where?
Is it's just easy to work, to be a Mosquito Squad franchisee,
example. Okay.
So everything I need as a franchisee is right there at my fingertips in our application. So, for example, if a pricing changes throughout the country for what they do.
Yeah.
I know as a franchisee, if I log in and I see a new pricing table, it's the latest pricing table.
Right.
I don't have to search for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there for me, and I know it's the latest. So a lot of what we do is about content, like I said, but keeping that content current, making sure the right content goes to the right person.
Yeah, that's...
And is maintained.
That's great. So who at the customer end, at the people that you actually sell to, who makes that buying decision?
It's usually a buying decision by committee, but the discipline that we usually looks for us and that ends up buying from us and leading the committee is the marketing function. It's usually their job to make sure that there's marketing support for dealers, and it's usually the marketing function. But we also usually have to work with the IT folks and a lot of other stakeholders to get some buy-in to buy our technology.
So how old is your company?
We're going into our 12th year.
Oh, my
February
goodness.
3rd,
yeah. Well, I was going to call you a startup. You are not a startup.
No, we're not a startup.
Oh, you absolutely are not a startup. Wow. Well, so over the course of this time, are those the biggest challenges you're seeing? And is the fact that you have to sell by committee, if you will, or sell to a committee of buyers? Or where are the big challenges you're seeing for your industry today?
That is a challenge. Having people accept the fact that the software is hosted by us used to be a challenge, but is quickly commonly accepted. Our biggest challenge, and it's I live with it every day, and I'll give you an analogy, is we sell to a latent need. So if you're a chief marketing officer, you probably don't even know our software exists because you've never seen it. And the analogy I like to use is HD TVs. You know, people as old as me remember that, right? First time you see an
you and I are the only two in the room.
You know, in the early 2000s, no one really knew what an HD TV was, but the first time you stepped into a store and you saw an HD TV, you're like, wow, I want one of those.
Right.
And then they were very expensive, so not everyone had one because it was very expensive.
Right.
So our software is kind of the same thing. When people see it, they want one. And the good news is it used to be expensive like the HDTVs, but We've just released version 8 of our software, so you don't need to be Caterpillar anymore to buy it. If you're a small franchise like Mosquito Squad, you can afford it. And even startups can afford it today, and that's an area that I'm focused on with Jim as well these days, trying to educate startups to use technology to build distribution channels early.
So that's really the biggest benefit, is that you're simplifying the distribution channel communication. Is that right?
Yeah, so we've applied software in the distribution channel, much like software has been applied in the supply channel for years.
Okay.
So software in the 90s really focused on the supply chain. So what we've started to do about a decade ago, working with large manufacturers, John Deere even before Caterpillar, was to create a software solution that made the distribution side of the equation more efficient. So that's what we do.
So 12 years and version 8 of the software. So you're in Wilmington now.
Yes, I am.
Which I am just thrilled about, by the way. If you go to the website, we can still see a little trail of Rhode Island there. So you've got two offices. Mm-hmm. Are you looking to expand beyond that?
Well, office-wise, no. We're going to plant the flag here in Wilmington. We've
Woo-hoo.
Done that. So I just hired a new salesperson, started Monday here in
great.
Wilmington.
Excellent.
In the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship with Jim here. So things are working out well. As we build our staff going forward, priority is here in Wilmington.
Super.
Although we have employees across the country and in Canada.
So you're looking for your growth just to be in numbers, in sales, and in footprint.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
That's great. So how do I know it's the right time for me as a business to talk to you?
It's never too early. That's the message I'm trying to get out, because the technology is cheaper than buying Office 365, for example, right? So
wow.
You can put people on our system. The challenge our customers have, and part of the problem we solve, is usually if you have a distribution channel and you're successful, you have a lot of people you have to support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like within the company's walls there's a limit. You know, a big company might be, you know, to some people, a couple hundred people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about distribution channel, it very quickly goes into the thousands, especially if you're successful as a manufacturer. So what we try to teach and talk to startups, even if you have a hot product, the time to think about switching to software like ours is not when you're growing very rapidly and you're busy. It's very early on. If you lay the groundwork for a scalable software platform where you can grow your sales channel, you know, the earlier you do that, the better off you are. And now that it's affordable, even at startup scale, you know, that's what we try to educate the marketplace about, is to start early.
Yeah, that's great. So let's pretend I'm a manufacturer here in Wilmington and I want to talk to you. How would I find you?
Well, we have a website, of course. And
I assume that's
logicbay.com.
Easy to spell. I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for no X's and Z's where they shouldn't be.
That's why I didn't name it after my last name.
So we
have a lot of people from all over the world here at our website. So if it's in Wilmington, it's just as easy as reaching us from Europe. So I hope people do that. But that's one way to get a hold of us, or to call the number that's there.
Excellent. Well, that's a great transition opportunity for us to talk to Jim a little bit about what's going on over at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. First of all, you're still relatively new. Has it been about 6 months now?
I moved here in the middle of May.
Oh, my goodness. That was fast.
It was.
You've been accomplishing a lot over there. You're a busy man. Tell
Trying
us what's
to.
Going on over there. First of all, there's probably a lot of people listening that don't even know what this is. So tell us about the center and why it exists.
Sure. The Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship exists to create a nurturing environment for people who want to be for entrepreneurs, or frankly, for graduates or people in the community who want to work for kind of a sexy startup. And that's really why we exist. And so, as you know from other markets, this is happening across the country right now. And this is Wilmington's attempt to compete in that space. But really, the idea is to be in the entrepreneurship space in Wilmington and raise the profile of the area and reverse the brain drain, if you will,
yeah,
and keep those best and brightest people here so they can start a company.
Yeah, that's one of the things especially that I've always worried about. There's amazing students coming out of UNCW. I hire them all the time. And I worry about them because there's just not enough place, I think, for them to go and have a growing opportunity. And so we're really, really excited to do whatever we can to help you be successful. What is it that you have learned and brought from some of your other experiences across the state and across the country that's going to help us here in Wilmington?
I think the easiest example, and this is not rocket science, is simply bringing the contacts that I have from across the country, especially within North Carolina, and bring them to Wilmington for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My new friend Scott Moody is an NC State grad who, the day after he graduated, moved to Florida, sold his company 20 years later,
right.
Moved back to Raleigh, and had never been to Wilmington.
Oh.
And this is a gentleman who just sold his company for $360 million.
Right.
And someone that our entrepreneurs would love to be mentored by. And if there's enough of a relationship, maybe he becomes an angel investor. Those are the relationships that we're really trying to open up. I've also found since I moved here is that Wilmington has not been to the existing resources that exist throughout the rest of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the entrepreneurs, even some of the most sophisticated ones, had never heard of the Qualified Business Venture Tax Credit. And that is a tax credit that the Triangle uses every day to stir innovation and investment in innovation. And basically what it is, if you were to be an angel investor and you wrote a $100,000 check into a startup that has below $5 million of revenue, you can write off 25% of that investment as a state tax credit on your income taxes.
Wow.
And Wilmington was not really using that. Now, unfortunately, that legislation is sunset, but we are still trying to kind of revive it. So maybe we can have it back very soon.
So that's been one of your big endeavors since you've been here, is to try to really get people aware of what opportunities currently exist.
That have been around. They just, either those organizations didn't know where to land in Wilmington to come and network with the existing entrepreneurial community. And honestly, on my first week of the job, there were five Wilmington entrepreneurs who I met in Durham. I asked them to meet me in Durham to take a look at the Paradoxes conference that happened in Durham and open their eyes of saying, this is what we're trying to build. If you like what you see, please help me build it in your community. And I need a give and take. You know, if I help you, I need you to give back in a variety of ways. I mean, we have a 24-year-old student that has an office in our facility, and he has learned a ton since he came into our facility. And one of the things is John has helped him mentor him on some sales skills and a sales process.
Sure.
And now that students are now coming into the center, that same 24-year-old student is now mentoring the new students and saying, look, I am just your age and I'm learning this and I couldn't be happier where I am. Why don't you guys come into and accomplish your dreams and by being an entrepreneur?
So I'm starting to get a picture in my head. Obviously, I've been to the center, but a lot of people haven't been.
Right.
Paint a picture for us. What's it like when you walk in the doors? What's the vibe? What? Who's there?
Well, what we hope to create is to create a nurturing environment with a energetic feel. It does have a lot of teal throughout the facility. We have...
It's that Seahawk teal.
What we have is we have a very unique facility where not many places have this, where we have event space, where we had an event last night with 117 people, and we only really have 76 chairs. So we had standing room only. We stole and begged chairs from all over the facility. There was not room for another person. There was standing room only. And we know that probably 25% of that crowd had never been to CIE. So we give them a tour and we have them start thinking about, wow, I have a startup, but I'm working around my kitchen table or I'm meeting in coffee shops.
So you essentially have office space available for people. Is that?
We have, well, what's cool is we have co-working space. So if you're the napkin stage idea, we have one chair for you. You can rent that chair.
Can it be at a desk?
Month to month. Well, we actually kind of have those more modern, old style that the desk swings around to the front, and so
kind of like we had in high school.
Correct, yeah. But they're a lot more modern in their own wheels, so you can put these chairs together and kind of have a team meeting. We have incubator space. We have offices. We will have graduation space where right now, if you're a two-person, three-person company, we have those offices, but soon we'll have 5 to 7 man offices and potentially another 4,000 square feet that could become available when demand demands it, if that makes sense. So, and then we want those companies to graduate into the community and make room for new startups. So we want to create this cycle of start, build, grow, sell your company. You can become a serial entrepreneur. You can become a mentor. You can become an angel investor. You can join a fund and create this cycle of entrepreneurship within the community.
One of the things I really liked when I was there, and I had seen it somewhere, one of the incubators in San Francisco, I think, we have the phone booths. The phone booths.
We have phone booths in our co-working space because the biggest problem in co-working space is we have 20 chairs, but we want those 20 chairs to be for 20 different companies.
Right.
So you may not want everyone to hear your phone conversation.
And I certainly don't want to be bothered by the guy next to me.
And you don't want to be listening to someone else when you're trying to focus on your business. So the idea is you sneak into one of these phone booths, have your cell phone call, and come back out and join the rest of the crowd. So, yeah, those phone booths, that's what we learned from Durham, is that was the biggest problem in their co-working space. It was, we really have to either walk outside the door or we have to go outside and make a phone call, which normally we have warm weather, but sometimes we have
sometimes
a snowflake
too,
right?
Sometimes there's a hurricane one.
Yes.
So it's really cool that UNCW is stepped up to the plate to do this. Tell us about how that came to be. What is it about UNCW that is an appropriate platform for this?
Well, one, it is a public sector need.
Yeah.
This is very difficult for the private sector to see why this should be done.
Mm-hmm.
So why not the university? And the university was looking for a role in economic development, and considering that the recruiting piece is taken care of, there are several organizations around town that do recruiting. There are organizations that do existing industry and growing those existing companies, but no one really had a hold of entrepreneurship and startups. And again, not only just starting the companies, but our employees wanted to work for those companies that were in the startup phase. When things get started, they're very exciting. So that was the chancellor's vision on why UNCW needed to get into the entrepreneurship space. And they studied everywhere. They looked at everything. They looked at incubators, accelerators across the country, and we took the best ideas and tried to fit them into a limited budget, but still try to touch every need for entrepreneurs.
So I'm sitting here thinking about what is it that we can do to get the Wilmington business community more in line with what you're doing, to let them know what's going on, and what can we do as a business community to help out? You have an event coming up. Would that be an appropriate place?
The next public event that we'll have is February 20th. We have one of my very good friends, and I don't say this lightly, I've been in North Carolina since 1996, and this young man is the smartest person that I've met in the state.
Wow.
And I network for a living. I meet people for a living. And this friend of mine is Jared Hamilton, and he's from CMG Partners, and just left CMG to join a company called Envy Core. And basically they have a very cool company. They have e-smart meters, e-smart tanks. So if you are a restaurant and you're selling the biodiesel fuel,
sure.
If you go to the restaurant, they have the cooking oil. Uh-huh. They're turning that into biodiesel.
Uh-huh.
The tanks that hold that cooking oil before they're picked up communicate to the pickup trucks.
Very cool.
That the tank is 50% full, it's 75% full, 90% full.
Get over here right
now. We're going to have a problem.
Right.
So that's what his company does. And he is an expert in market research. And I realize this probably is not a sexy topic, but I guarantee you will learn three things that will help your business the next day. And that's really what we're trying to get at is we're calling this event Ready, Fire, Aim.
Okay.
Basically, because that's what most entrepreneurs do is they go out the door, try to sell, and they're not necessarily targeting the best companies that really need their product. And that's what Jared is going to talk about.
Cool. And what's the April event?
the April event. We're very excited about it, and frankly, the everyone's excited about this event. And this is an event I've had in other markets, so it's not new, so I know how to pull it off. We're going to invite the five largest employers that we can get to participate. Five local large employers that have the resources. And we're going to ask them to stand on stage and describe the five biggest things that keep them up at night. And if you think about that...
I assume you don't mean Jimmy Fallon, right?
No. Right. Right. These are the pain points that they have. I call this my aspirin event, or I call it the selling picks to the miners. And what I mean by that is the wealthiest person that came out of the gold rush was...
No idea.
Levi Strauss.
Oh, really?
He did not chase the gold.
Right.
He sold things that gold miners needed.
Right.
But every gold miner needed it. So they needed jeans. They needed picks. They needed the things to go chase the gold. And that's really the concept behind this is if we have five large employers that all say five things that they need, then that's 25 things for the entrepreneurs in the audience to go, I do that. I do that every day. I understand that how to solve that problem. I can't get to that decision maker that's on the stage.
Sure.
Well, if that person's on the stage and not at the end of another line with a gatekeeper in between them, then it becomes a lot easier. So we're trying to lower the barrier of selling to large companies. And the most important part of this event is if the hospital in Wilmington has one of these five problems, the hospital in Greensboro probably
has
it. The one in Asheville, the one in Atlanta. And get our entrepreneurs outside of the market so they start bringing that outside money into Wilmington.
That's fabulous. That's really fun. So it will spur a whole series of ideation, I assume.
What we're trying to do is help our entrepreneurs create solutions for problems that already exist, not create solutions for solutions looking for problems.
Right, exactly.
We need to sell to bigger... A company, I asked a very influential person around town, I asked him how he knew the CIE would be successful. And he said, well, how many jobs the companies that you're working with create?
Absolutely.
Well, you can only hire somebody if you have money. Mm-hmm. There's only two ways that I know to get money. One, you sell more.
Right.
You have revenues coming in and you can pay.
Right.
Or you raise some money from investors or from the bank. Well, it's a lot easier to raise money if you have sales. It's funny how that works, right?
For sure.
So those are the two things that we're really focusing on is helping our companies sell more and helping them raise more money.
So what can you share with me one or two success stories from last year that will help us understand what's going to happen in 14?
Well, I think you already know of one success story, which is NextGlass.
Yes.
And while that is a very early stage company and it's we can't call them a success yet.
Close.
They're getting to the product.
Right.
The fact that they closed a round of funding, which is very unique,
mm-hmm.
and they won the North Carolina Technology Emerging Company Award, where I believe you were in the audience.
Absolutely.
There was a buzz when they won that award, mm-hmm. and that's not a wine joke. That was that you could hear people stand up, take their phone out of their pocket, and go to the website because. The description came from the stage, and
right.
there were 1,000 people in the audience. And I was very excited to realize, because I looked, and I could see people get on their phone and type in NextGlass. And I said, there's the hook right there.
Yep.
Because it was easy to explain. And the great thing is they've already created a dozen jobs, and those jobs pay wages 2 times the county average per capita income.
Yep.
That's success.
They're bringing smart people to town. I love that.
Right.
Love that.
The other company that we're excited about, a few of our companies, obviously the student that we talked about is SPS App or a company called Hugo, but also the Hunley family. I think most people know of goodbloodflow.com and mm-hmm. the go-to medical device just got a $75,000 investment from the North Carolina Innovation Fund,
oh,
which
that's
is a brand new fund based in Hickory, North Carolina,
okay.
a partnership with the Kauffman Foundation, and that $75,000 that they just won as an investment helps them go leverage that money to other investors
mm-hmm.
and say, look at this out-of-town validation that we just got that no one else has. Because this is the first time that fund has done any investing. It's a brand new fund.
Right.
And a Wilmington company got that. So I'm trying to reduce that isolationism that we talk about here, that we're 2.5 hours from everything else, and make that a strength, you know, just to say, look, those people want to come here.
Especially on a Friday.
Because when do we have our events? We have our events on Thursday night. So we can invite these people from out of town because they want to stay over Friday,
absolutely,
Saturday,
you
Sunday.
Bet.
And it supports our tour. I know it's cheesy to say this, but it does support our tourism.
Absolutely.
So if they're going to stay 3 days, or I networked that North Carolina Technology Association event, and everyone I asked to come to Wilmington said, of course, I already have a house on Wrightsville. I already have a house at Bald Head Island.
Sure.
So they want to come here. Just, I may be the first person to invite them here, and that's hard to believe, but I think that's
what I bring
to the
market. Well, there was no place to go, probably.
Right.
And now you've created a place for them to go and a reason to come here and pulling together the people, just like John, who has chosen to be located right now at the CIE.
Right, right.
And you certainly wanted to come to Wilmington.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I've had offices around town, but it's I'm very happy with moving into the CIE with Jim.
Does it keep you stimulated? Are you constantly being interrupted by people who want to tap you?
No, I am, but I chose to be there and get interrupted. So it's it's got a nice vibe about it, and it's got a combination of investors and students all in one place, and
yeah,
every day they're walking up and down the hall by my office. So it's great.
So it should be. That's great. Well, you guys, is there something you'd like to say that I didn't ask you before we wrap up today's show? What kind of things did I miss the opportunity to let you tell your story about?
Not much. I don't want to bore you to tears. I will mention one more thing, because there's one thing we're doing together. I have a passion for teaching veterans entrepreneurship.
Oh,
it's kind
great.
Of something I do on the side.
Good. That's the
and,
place for it.
Jim and I, there's a large veteran community in North
absolutely.
Carolina, and there's a large veteran community here in Wilmington.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get more awareness about the center itself and encourage veterans to explore the resources Jim's created, but also to work with a nonprofit I'm associated with called Vet to CEO. And
tell us about that.
It's vet2ceo.org is the website, but myself and other veteran entrepreneurs have come together to build this program. It's an online program by design, because a lot of veterans can't get to the physically, or they have day jobs when they're thinking about a business. They
sure,
like to take
yeah.
it online. It's an 8-module, 8-week course that we offer online exclusive for veterans. And it talks about, it's a basic entrepreneurship program, but what we do is we leverage the known skills of veterans, leadership skills, management skills, and we augment that with what they need to be successful entrepreneurs in business.
That's great. Are you tying to that then, Jim?
Yes, we're thinking about having an event in March where we would bring somebody from the military to talk about SBIR, Small Business
good.
Innovation Research Grants,
sure.
and STTR, and tie that into where the military is saying, look, we're putting out these requests for proposals. What innovative ideas do you have that are solutions for these? And we have some military veteran entrepreneur friends that are in the Triangle,
mm-hmm.
and again, it's not hard to invite them down, especially if it's a little warmer. And in March, it'll be a little warmer, and we'll put on that event, and we hope to educate everyone that wants to be an entrepreneur, even if they're not a veteran, of how you can work with the military. It's not just veteran exclusive.
Sure.
Is the event that we're working towards in March.
Right.
That's great. Well, thank you both for being here today. This was really a fun show.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
Good.
And
thank you.
We're looking forward to everybody going to the website to make sure that you're learning more about Logic Bay at logicbay.com, and drop a quick note to John while you're over there. And the uncw.edu/CIE site is the home for the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and you can contact Jim through that. And I'm Anne Revelle-Petcher, your host of Bridges to Business. Thanks for joining us. Until next time.